America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Thank you for listening. Do you snack in bed? I will be honest with you. I never do. Absolutely never do. But there are plenty of people out there who do exactly that. Who have made, you know, a habit of eating in the same place they sleep. Nearly 44% of adults who snack late at night do so in bed. 58% of 18 to 24-year-olds, they will prefer to have a snack in bed. 44% of adults, 58% of young adults. That's according to a survey of 1,000 Americans commissioned by Kellanova, which used to be called the Kellogg Company, which makes Pringles, Rice Krispies, treats, and Pop-Tarts. Now, I'm always reluctant to take what any poll says to heart, but I'm especially reluctant to take too seriously any poll that's conducted by a snack company, because clearly whatever result they come up with, it's designed to sell snacks. So I think they want people that don't snack in bed to think, oh yeah, okay, well, no, a lot of people are snacking in bed. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe let me reach for that Rice Krispie treat or a container of Pringles. Although maybe this is accurate. I will absolutely never snack in bed. Absolutely not. I get so, and I'm far from a neat freak, I get so creeped out by the thought of crumbs winding up in bed. And even, my wife cleans like a crazy person. But even if there are no bugs or anything, just the thought of rolling over while you're sleeping or being amorous with your partner and there's crumbs from some popcorn or a cookie or anything, really, I can't do it. Can't do it. I'll do you one better. I won't even eat in the car. I'll eat at the table. We have a living room or a family room that has an ottoman, which we use as sort of a coffee table. I'll eat there. I'll even once in a while, if I have an apple or a cottage cheese or, a cheese stick of some sort, I'll eat in my office. I have a swivel chair. I'll eat a little cottage cheese as I'm going through my mountain of email. I will never, absolutely not, ever eat in bed. And I don't want to say I'm shocked, but I'm a little surprised that 44% of adults, according to this study, say they do. Unless, of course, this is just totally bogus. So let me know what you think. 800-848-9222. Do you eat in bed? 800-848-9222.
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
New York Post did an article on this. They quote a beauty publicist by the name of Lexi Mixon, who's 25 years old, and she says she has eaten in bed since childhood. You know what? The other thing I don't get about this is if you're having popcorn or something while you're in bed, I understand, you know, you have a snack while you're watching television, then you go to sleep. But don't you have to brush your teeth or at least floss and get all the food that's in your mouth off of your teeth so you don't get cavities? So to me, logistically, it also doesn't make sense. So I'm in bed, I'm relaxed, catching an episode of Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm before I go in for the night, before I turn it in for the night. And I'm having my, I don't know, protein bar, my sandwich, whatever. All right, finished eating. Now I'm ready to go to sleep. Am I really going to get up out of bed, go to the bathroom, brush my teeth and floss, and then walk back to bed? To me, it seems like inefficient, and I don't know, it's just not something I'm comfortable with. But clearly, at least according to this survey, a lot of you are. And Lexi Mixon says she and her boyfriend enjoy date nights in bed, eating sushi and pasta. Pasta in bed? You know, one time... Sometimes my son will like to watch television in our bed, and he'll bring with him his cup with milk. You know, he's got a sippy cup that's milk, got milk in it. And we give him one glass of chocolate milk a day. In the morning when he first wakes up and starting his day, we'll give him a little chocolate. Not a lot. And it's a very low sugar chocolate syrup that we use in there. And every once in a while, he doesn't finish his chocolate milk. So every once in a while, he'll ask for milk and we'll give him his cup of milk. And he'll find that he hasn't finished the chocolate milk, and he'll discover that it's actually chocolate milk because he didn't finish it from this morning. He still only gets his one cup, but, you know, he's expecting regular milk and he gets chocolate milk. So that happens once, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, is he's watching Sesame Street in bed with me, and he's takes a big swig of what he thinks is milk, and all of a sudden, it's chocolate milk. He said, it's chocolate milk. So he thinks he's won the lotto. Very excited. And when you know it, even though it's a sippy cup, he spills some of the chocolate milk on the bed, and it stained it. Because there was chocolate milk on there. I cannot imagine something like pasta, which even under the best of circumstances is messy. How you eat that in bed? I don't get it. I don't get it. My friend Vic Christopher years ago, who was very much a mentor, he said to me 22 years ago, he said, beds should only be used, and no, it wasn't me. It was a three-way conversation between our friend Eddie Rago, myself, and Vic. And Eddie was talking about how a lot of times he has difficulty sleeping at night. And he says, yeah, sometimes I'll watch television or something. And Vic says, no, you shouldn't do it. He says, Eddie says, yeah, I know, you should read or something. And Vic says, no, don't read. You need to train your body that as soon as you're in bed, the only thing you're using that bed for is sleep. And then there's a subsequent conversation where there's another couple that says, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to maybe go into bed and feed each other. Or you guys, you know, you guys, if you're in a couple, you should go into bed and feed each other. And Vic said, and I think he's right about this, that absolutely not. The only two things that a bed should be used for are sleep and having sex. That's it. There should be no eating, no reading, no television. I know a lot of people do watch television. And look, I just told you about how I watch television, you know, with my son when he wants to come in and watch Sesame Street or something. But by and large, I find the idea of snacking in bed repulsive, absolutely repulsive. And I'm looking at the people quoted in this New York Post article, and it's the norm for them. Tracy Mixon tells the Post, I have eaten in bed my whole life. I learned it from my mom. It's a generational thing. Late night bed munchers tend to go for cookies, ice cream, and chips, with chips coming in first for 18 to 24 year olds. Bed snackers tend to be white and without kids under the age of 18. The majority eat in bed when they are alone, and 56% watch television while indulging. Not for me. Tony, what about you? Are you a bed snacker?
Not really, but no. I prefer to eat, if I'm going to eat in my living room on my couch, I don't like having crumbs on my bed afterwards.
What's your story, Matt?
Absolutely not. It's too much work.
It is.
My bedroom's upstairs. Why am I going to go all the way upstairs with a whole plate of food? First of all, snacking is one thing, but having an entire meal in bed is something I've never, ever done. Even as a kid, when I used to eat cookies in bed or a bowl of ice cream or something like that, never did I have an entire meal laying in bed. That I don't get at all.
Same here. All right, let me hear from you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Original Rick in Original Jersey. Hello.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning. You know how to tell when an elephant's in bed with you?
I give up.
You smell peanuts under breath.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Anyway, you touched on something I was going to say about the trigger. You should only get triggered for sleeping and sex when you go in the bedroom. Anything else, it's going to confuse your brain. Am I here to eat? Am I here this or that? It shouldn't be a recreation. It should be for sleeping and sex. One of the things I have, because I have a 3-family house, whenever I have bugs through the house, rather than just in the kitchen, the exterminator always tells me they're eating in their room and they're leaving food around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna attract bugs. You don't have the cleanliness that you have like you do in the kitchen with washing it down with disinfectants all the time. All that. You're not doing that to all your things in your bedroom. You might be using polish, but you're not cleaning it for food. And people put stuff on the floor and then go to sleep or something, and that attracts bugs. And it always makes me crazy. Like, why? And we touched on this once before. People don't eat in their kitchens anymore as a family. They go to their separate rooms with their laptop or whatever and do their own thing, and they're eating in bed. So, yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. It's a silly idea, and it brings bugs.
That it does, Rick. That it does. And, you know, I just your point about the exterminator saying they're eating in bed, they're eating their room, I get that, and I'm not surprised because a bed is not equipped to handle being a food serving area. There's no, I guess you could have a tray, certainly, but it's just not an area that's conducive to efficient eating. Rick, thank you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Joe is in the Queens. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Frank, this what's her name, Lexi, the 25-year-old? I would ask you a 3-part question about her. One would be, is she a little groggy and it's too much of a, you know, it's hard to sit down and she'd rather be on an incline at that point in the day? Then why is she making this a ritual? That would be another question. And then should she broadcast this? Should she make it public or should she hide it? So that's my three-part question.
I have no answers to any of those.
Yeah. 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 Should, is it something that, what is she trying to say by admitting this? She's trying to say that she's wild and crazy or.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
She does. What she likes.
Yeah, I would guess that the New York Post writer was just kind of trying to do her a favor because clearly, you know, they have probably have some sort of relationship because she's a publicist. And I don't know if he was just saying this is the narrative of the article that we're going for. And I know you do this. Well, we give you a mention. I don't know what how this came to be because he clearly found her some way. And he was not advertising on social media. Hey, I'm looking for people that eat in bed. I don't know. So, Joe, you don't eat in bed.
I do. I prefer not to. Sometimes I have a couple of cashews or whatever. But, you know, like Matt was saying, the crumbs or whatever like that. You don't want that. I do keep, interestingly, I'll have like three different type drinks next to the bed, though. You know, not just one, but three, like a coconut water, a kombucha, another type drink. So I'm literally sipping from three different drinks, Frank.
Why three, that? Though?
I just, you know, I like different, you know, I like to vary it, you know, and I like the kombucha as like a thirst quencher that does the best for me. And then I like a little coconut water there. And, you know, so that's kind of weird, right? Right.
I don't know. I mean, I would think one would be sufficient. I'd be afraid that with all that stuff on your nightstand, one would spill.
Right. Right. And that has happened. I've knocked them over or whatever, you know, one of them over, but, so that's a little like, I don't think too many people do that.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. 800-848-9222. Danielle in Brooklyn. Danielle, how do you view this phenomenon of, eating in bed?
I'm actually having some Pepperidge Farm Bordeaux cookies right now as we speak in bed.
Wow. Wow.
I'm listening to you and I'm like literally like in bed and I just got the cookies just as you started the segment and my milk, of course. And I was like, oh my God, I so have to call him. I was like,
well, I'm glad that you did because I certainly always enjoy hearing from you. But Danielle, so now you'll finish the cookies, right? You'll drink the milk. And once you finish your snack, do you go and brush your teeth or do you go right to sleep?
I go right to sleep. It depends. I mean, it all depends. Like if I have because I also keep like a bag of trail mix behind my bed.
What is going on in that bedroom of yours, Danielle?
Fruit and like raisins and stuff. So like if I have that, like I'll, because that's usually like my bedtime snack. Then I'll go like brush my teeth because of like all the like
the nuts and stuff. Gets right.
Like cookies, I just rinse it down with milk, and I'm good to go.
So is this the? I mean, I know you keep in the trail mix there all the time. Do you daily snack in bed, or is this a once a week thing, a twice a week, only while you're listening to us? What? How frequent is the bedtime snacking?
Probably maybe like 2-3 times a week tops. It's like when I'm just really tired and just want to like lay down and watch some TV before I go to bed. Like I want like put on a show and or like listen or I'm listening to you.
I was just
going to
say
bed.
You should be listening to radio as you go to bed, Danielle.
I mean, yeah, please. No, I usually am, but like right, it's 4:30, so that's why I'm winding down before I watch my TV.
Fair enough, Danielle. I think maybe you. I was very dismissive of this poll, but after hearing from you and the other gentleman, I'm starting to think maybe this 44% number is accurate. All right. Enjoy your Pepperidge Farm cookies.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too, Danielle. 800-848-9222. Jay in Ohio. Hi, Jay.
Hey, you think maybe it was John Lennon, Yoko Ono that started all that, Frank? but seriously, Frank, my brother is in Florida, okay? His wife was not the greatest housekeeper, so I camped out on their bedroom floor and had a palmetto bug run across my face. They're like a cockroach on steroids.
Wait, you said across your face?
Yes.
Oh, that's horrible.
Woke me up, and I was shocked. But then I wasn't again. He had a box of dog cookies by the door, and these things were just scuttering in and all around the house. And just absolutely turned my stomach. I left and went back over to my grandmother's house in the middle of the night. I couldn't handle it.
Oh, my goodness, Jay. That's
awful. It'll shock you. Bed eaters, beware. Palmetto bugs.
Well, how much of that is bed eating, and how much of that is a Florida thing?
Could be combination, because I'll tell you, those things are amazing. When they get stuck in your door, you hear a big crunch when they get crushed. Oh, that's they're everywhere down there.
Well, if anyone was snacking in bed, Jay, I suspect you might have caused them to lose their appetite. Jay, thank you. I appreciate that. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222 if you want to weigh in on this. Hey, coming up in just a minute, we're going to chat with Noam Layden and get an idea of what's in the news from him. If you want to participate in anything that we've covered on this show, you can go ahead and join our Facebook group. Just go on to Facebook and search Morano, that's M-O-R-A-N-O, Radio Fans and Haters. And that's meant to be a forum for the topics and issues that we discuss on this program, positive, negative, whatever, as long as it's related to this program. It's not meant to be an in-general discussion group regarding anything happening on radio, but specifically for this show. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment. All right, we'll talk to Noam Layden straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies, and I was loving you. When the words are said, baby, I lose my head. And in a world of people, there's only you and I. There ain't nothing come between us in the end.
I can hold you and you.
Half past the hour, it is time for us to be informed and maybe even entertained with the best newsman in all the business, our news director.
Stand by for the Other Side of Midnight's news.
From New York City, the Other Side of Midnight and its affiliated stations present national and international news with Frank Morano and news director Noam Layden. Their summary of the world news and personal comments. Get the rest of the story.
Hello, Noam.
Good morning, Frank. It's always been controversial, the debate of reclining your seat on an airplane, right?
Yes.
There's always people who get into arguments about this.
Right.
This has always been a big deal. Like, when's a good time to do it? Should you do it during mealtime? Someone's trying to watch a movie. Now, all of a sudden, the screen's an inch away from their face. And so now some airlines, we're going to see this over the coming years, and even if we've already seen it with one airline, they're going to get rid of seats that recline.
Whoa!
Yeah. And the thought is not just about, of course, the dust up that happens in the cabin. And now you have the airline stewardesses trying to figure out how to deal with these people who are screaming and yelling at each other. But actually, it's about saving money. These lighter, non-reclining seats require fewer mechanical parts, and thus the airlines save money when it comes to maintenance. And they're lighter, so of course they're always worried about the cost of jet fuel. It always goes up. And if you have a lighter plane than people on board, the thought is they're going to save money on gas as well. The first airline to go full throttle with this, you might not be surprised, is Spirit Airlines. They now have seats that it are what they call pre-reclined. I don't know that I've ever been on Spirit Airlines, but they're pre-reclined in every row. So they're designed at a slight angle. And what they call it is to allow for a wider range of healthy postures and movements. That's the way they're trying to sell us on these seats.
Why would anyone want to recline if that's the case?
Yeah, right. You don't need to, according to Spirit Airlines. So losing the ability to recline can be a blessing in disguise for these airlines because tighter seats have made reclining unfair to fellow passengers. The thought is that if you see somebody behind you getting their meal, you should probably not recline, bring your seat up. And this is what brings all these arguments, because somebody doesn't want their meal. They want to take a nap. They put their seat back. The guy behind them is trying to eat a meal. Now the meal's like a half an inch away from your body. So you have certain airlines like Delta, United, American, and Southwest. They're already cutting back on the number of inches a seat can recline. Economy seats used to recline about 4 inches. And if you've noticed lately, it's tighter. Now only go 2 inches back. And soon they may go the way of Spirit Airlines. It seems to be working for them, where you'll have a pre-reclined seat to sit in on the airline. So basically what it comes down to, unless you're flying first class or business, it has become even more miserable to fly than it ever has been, and will be even more miserable in the years to come.
Where are you on the reclining question? What do you think is appropriate?
First of all, the whole reclining thing is you don't really go back that far that it makes a difference. That's been my experience. And the key is, I've always felt like some people want that aisle seat because they want to get up as many times as they want to. But I still think the best seat is next to the window if you want to sleep, because you can lean against that little wall there and you can fall asleep.
That's true.
And whether you're reclined or not, you'll probably be able to knock yourself out. But with these non-reclining seats, I mean, I guess for some people that'll matter. And if that's the case, then you just got to pay a lot more to sit first class.
You totally dodged my question. Where are you on reclining? Do you recline when you're on an airplane?
I think I do. You know, I'm trying to remember, you know, lately the flights have all been kind of short ones, so I don't really push back.
Okay.
But, you know, there's some of those transatlantic flights when I go to visit the folks and stuff like that. Yeah, I like to push the seat back and try to sleep. But those 2 inches, does it really make that much of a difference?
No, that's a fair point. All right. What else we have?
So Bark Airlines. Have you heard about this?
No.
This is an airline that's for people who are just a little too nuts about their dogs and cats and other pets. So now you can fly with your animal. The flights right now, they just started this up last week. The first service area are between Los Angeles, New York, in London, and these are people who need to have their pet by their side. It is it connects you first class service through and through. I imagine the seats on this flight do recline as far as you want to, because it's $6,000 each way to fly with your pet. Yeah, so you're talking about a $12,000 round trip to go from here to Los Angeles. The minute you walk into the terminal, it is first class all the way. There are snacks and treats for your dog. There are lots of snacks and treats for the human that is with you. When you get on board, they do pre-boarding for animals that are skittish. And so they have a whole boarding process that also they give them treats and stuff like that to get to their seats. But the pet, your pet, instead of being underneath sometimes, like the way it used to be, in a cart where it's cold in a cage, now they get to sit next to you, but it comes at a premium.
Look, I mean, if you have the money, that's great. I mean, it can be very difficult to get a pet sitter, and a lot of people just don't want to leave their pets. So I can understand why people would want to do this. I can't understand spending $6,000 to do that. I mean, that's incredible. But look, if you have the money, God bless you.
You were talking about this earlier, about this comedy club where a family, a mother brought her kid with her to the comedy club.
7-month-old child.
Yeah, which seemed a little odd to me. Yeah. So now there's a restaurant in Brooklyn that's causing some controversy. And I have to be honest with you, I don't really know why, but they've gone completely kid free. You're not allowed to bring your kid, no matter what day of the week it is, to this restaurant in Park Slope. It's called Bar Louise. They opened in March. And when they opened, that's the way they opened. They said, nah, we're going to be kid free. Now, you know, our generation, and I'm a little older than you, but our generation, we bring our kids everywhere, right? We bring them out to nice restaurants, and a lot of times those meals get ruined because the kids get rowdy or cry or they're, you know, upset about something. So the owners of this restaurant said, no, you know what? We need to have a place where people can go who don't have kids, right, and people who do have kids, for that matter, where there's no kids at all. And the owner, by the way, is unapologetic. He says, this is what people want.
I think everyone can kind of just relax, let their hair down, not realize that there's not kids at a nearby table that's going to be listening to sensitive topics of conversation. You can really just kind of relax and have a good time.
Yeah. So I don't see why there's a problem with this, but there's pushback from people in Park Slope in Brooklyn who say this is terrible. They can't take their kids out to eat at this restaurant, which is apparently pretty good. And they're upset about this. Well, the owner says, no, you know, this is what it is. And he'll either survive or die by this, depending on whether the people go to his restaurant.
You could always just go to another restaurant.
Yeah, you would think so, though, especially in a place like Brooklyn. There's about a million different choices of places to go.
I mean, I'm listening to his explanation of the way he phrased that there. I'm just trying to picture the folks that need to use a lot of profanity while they're eating so that sensitive ears don't catch them. But, I think if people want an adults-only dining experience, why shouldn't they have that option?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Certainly plenty of other restaurants that go the other way.
One more thing. This is not a news story, but we had this issue a number of months ago where we had talked about how some food had gone missing from the WABC radio. That's the home station of your show, had gone missing. And I've been alerted just over the last 24 hours that it seems like some very tasty hummus went missing from the refrigerator at the WABC refrigerator in the kitchen there.
Whoa. First of all.
And I was asked to bring it up to you.
I have not heard any of these news stories about the substantial amount of food that I have brought in for to be consumed by the masses over the months since these updates
began. Well, there was a great coffee cake you brought in a couple days ago.
The list goes on.
The egg salad is always delicious.
It's been a while since my Aunt Camille came through with that egg salad.
It's about time you bring some new stuff
I'm going to try. If my Aunt Camille is listening right now, I think you hear what Noam's saying. But that hummus was not only unlabeled.
Right.
Well, I did eat that hummus.
You did eat it. Okay.
100%. That hummus was not only unlabeled, no one's name on it.
Right.
But it was after there was some event that we had here for the radio station. It was
Greek Independence Day, and Greek people love their hummus. So you probably thought it was part of the catering from Greek Independence Day. That seems reasonable. Yeah. Well,
because if it wasn't, someone's name would be on that hummus.
Yeah.
Whose hummus was it?
It was Chris Cameron's hummus.
I don't even know who that is. We have a person that works here named Chris Cameron. Who is he? What does he do?
He is Chad's right hand man.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. All right, I will replace that hummus right away. Now that I know that's the case. All right, my sincere apologies for the misunderstanding.
So you're actually admitting to eating that hummus?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Was it good?
It was outstanding. Actually,
I wonder where he got it from.
It wasn't
from Greek Independence Day.
I thought it was from the Greek Independence Day thing.
Yeah, he was upset that his hummus went missing. He had the pizza already. It was in his hand. He had warmed it up.
Went
to the refrigerator. No hummus.
But when you see, first of all, and that's another thing. There was a collection of pita, I think, that was out there.
Right.
So it kind of goes hand in glove.
I would think so. Yeah, that seems pretty clear to me.
But also, if I'm putting, he's not here overnight, right?
No.
When we're here. If I'm putting something in the refrigerator and I'm leaving it for the day.
Right.
I'm essentially leaving it and abandoning the workplace. I am walking into the refrigerator which, by the way, I think in part because of the work that I'm doing, it's been recently cleaned. Kudos to the people that made
that.
Yeah, it's
very clean now, yeah.
So you're the first thing you see, really the only thing that you see on the refrigerator is a sign that says, all food must be labeled or it will be thrown out. So this fellow is choosing, who you know, I'm sure is a great guy, but he's choosing to leave unlabeled food in an area after a party.
And he's risking it all that he might lose it to someone who might not understand that it's a collective, that it's open to anybody.
Exactly.
And of course, his argument was that he just didn't finish the hummus that he had had for lunch, or it came as a side dish. And all morning long, all he said he could think about was warming up the pizza the oven.
Now I feel bad. Now I will
bring
in some
hummus. And dipping into the hummus and having some. He said and then all of a sudden he got there at noon and there was no hummus.
All right. Well, now I feel bad. But I shouldn't feel bad because
it wasn't labeled.
It wasn't labeled.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let him know that.
Yeah.
Because he was asking for me to see if I could get a response.
All right. Well, I'll make it up to him. We'll get some hummus and some baba ganoush for him.
Oh, look at you. Wow, baba ganoush
to review. Yes.
Maybe some grape leaves.
Well, let's not get carried away here. We're not doing a second Greek Independence Day thing, but I feel bad about that. Tony, you got to be with me on this one. Right?
Nobody's name was on it, but you know, and I get what you're saying, you know, but you are guilty of taking other people's food when it's not yours.
Well, that is not what we're talking about at all here. This was in the danger zone. This was up for grabs.
Yeah.
Unlabeled.
You know, a high protein snack when you're in the middle of your show, it sort of helps you out, keeps you going.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed you've stopped bringing those snacks that your wife used to give you that you used to put on the side over there.
She used to give me those like Trader Joe's bars and stuff like that.
Yeah. You stopped bringing those in.
She doesn't put it in my lunch anymore.
Okay.
She makes my lunch.
Yeah. There you go.
Nobody eats my lunch. Do you notice where I keep it?
Yeah, not
right next to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not in that unlabeled because
it's not
refrigerator.
Labeled. I'd be afraid to put it in the refrigerator.
You know, this will be the only time, Frank, that I think I agree with you about this refrigerator thing, because it's right after Greek Independence Day. There's pita out there. I saw the pita
right
out there. The hummus is in the refrigerator. Why wouldn't you think that it's, and being unlabeled, that it was just part of the community hummus from that day?
And you know what, though? It was the only thing in that refrigerator that was unlabeled. Elias had something in there. Other people had things in there. Every single item that had someone's name on it was totally unmolested. So you have a situation where...
Right.
Not only am I, if I'm this Chris Cameron gentleman, or as they call him around here, CeCe, if I'm CeCe, I am not only ignoring the sign clearly posted in violation of the company protocol on the refrigerator, but then I am seeing all these other labeled food and I'm saying, oh, I know I'm about to leave,
right?
But let me leave it here amongst all this labeled food.
So he broke the rule, so he should be punished with his hummus.
But I still feel bad, so I'll get him some Mediterranean food of some sort.
Okay.
So there you have it. Thank you, Noam.
Sure.
And now you know the rest of the story.
We report, you decide. 800-848-9222. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame in just a bit. I'll tell you what's annoying. My Wi-Fi has stopped working. I can't figure it out. Now, luckily, I am not Wi-Fi dependent. But if I have to look up anything, then that's a shame. I'm not able to do it. I'll tell you what I did want to mention on a serious note. I had told you last week, I think Wednesday or Thursday, that a former guest on this show, who I've interviewed many times over the course of the last 9 years, 10 years, Russell callsign Texas Bentley, an Army veteran who was from Texas, who became a communist, moved to Eastern Ukraine, and fought with Ukrainian separatists. I had told you that he was missing. Well, it was reported over the weekend that it's now confirmed that that he's been killed. And I did not know Texas Bentley well. We never had a conversation aside from the ones that we had on the radio. Once the war started, he would give me a little bit of his perspective via email from time to time. But that was it. I certainly wouldn't call him a friend. We never hung out or anything, never met in person. But this is a guy who was from Austin, Texas, moved to Ukraine to be part of what, you know, he thought was a big, important revolution there, and then became part of that government in the People's Republic of Donetsk. And now he's dead. And I don't know the details of his death, because on social media, there are a lot of unsubstantiated claims about how he was killed. I don't want to go through all these things that are unsubstantiated, but particularly gruesome details about how he died. Some people are claiming he was killed by the Ukrainians, because obviously he was fighting on the side of the Russians. Other people are claiming that he was killed by the Russians because they thought he was a spy for either the United States or for Ukraine. I guess because he was American, they're saying the Russians didn't trust him. But he referred to himself as the Donbass cowboy. And I really enjoyed our conversations over the years. I thought he brought a valuable perspective. I thought he was someone that was, even though we were talking about serious things, I thought he was he seemed to have a really good sense of humor. And he's somebody that I'm going to miss having on the radio. So I always try to keep you in the loop whenever something happens with our guests and folks that you might be following. And Russell Texas Bentley is unfortunately no more. Here's a clip from one of our recent interviews.
The front line of the Ukrainian army is less than 5 miles from my house. You understand? There's rockets, there's cannons, there's tanks, there's snipers that do work, that do shoot frequently. I mean, there's shellings happen in my neighborhood, not every day, but probably about half of the days in a month. You know, and some of them, I mean, all of them close enough for me to hear, some of them close enough for me to smell.
So I was sorry to hear that. And I think it just really makes you realize the futility of war when you see people relatively young who seem to have a tremendous lust and energy for life just dying like that. So needlessly. All right. 800-848-9222. If you want to participate in 15 seconds of fame, you know, speaking of dying needlessly, I mentioned this a little bit over the weekend. I'll mention this again. This young man who set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial has died. I know this is what they call self-immolation is a relatively common form of protest. I have to say, I think this is the most idiotic thing in the world, because I don't care whether you're protesting Trump or Israel or anything. For you to light yourself on fire, which has a pretty good chance of resulting in your death, the damage that that does to the people that know you, the people that might be supporters of your cause, is enormous. Forgetting about all the people you know and love who are now going to be without a family member or a friend, think of all the other work you could be doing for your cause other than set yourself on fire. You could be working intellectually or in terms of activism or anything else. And yet, it's all over once you set yourself on fire. And I was reading some of the quotes about this guy's friends, you know, from this guy, Max, and his friends. And it strikes me as somebody who was battling severe mental illness. But one of his friends said they didn't get the impression that he was mentally ill, just that he was almost too smart. And I have to tell you, I think there does come a point where you can be too smart. I remember I was working with someone, and it was a relatively new in our professional relationship. And so-and-so, who is very smart, a PhD, and a great person, she asked me, "Oh, how do you like working with blank?" And I said, "Well, I'll be honest with you, I like it. He's not the smartest person in the world, but he's certainly very nice." And this person said to me, "Good, that's great. Who wants a big smarty pants?" And I thought, yeah, I agree with that. Sometimes it's better to be nice than smart. And I think everything that I've read about this gentleman, Max, is it's just it makes me so sad to think that he was so driven to, I will call this insanity, that he would set himself on fire. So I know we have a lot of people that listen to this show that are very passionate about a number of different areas of public policy. Please don't set yourself on fire. Don't. 15 seconds of fame straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Thank you to the late, great Andy B. This is indeed The Other Side of Midnight. This is, this is the day that our garbage and recycling comes, and I didn't have a chance to finish putting it out this morning or last night before I left. So I'm going to run home, finish putting out the trash and all the recyclables, and we have this rug in our room that our cat had previously urinated on, which still smells a little bit. So we're going to get rid of this rug, and I was going to do it last night, but I really needed to get work done for the show, and I really needed a 45-minute nap. And my wife took pity on me, and she said, all right, fine, but as soon as you get home tomorrow, we're doing this before you go to sleep. And I said, okay. I knew that was going to be tough because, you know, I'm tired on a Monday when I get home. I said, okay, fine. Well, got the note from my wife a few minutes ago that don't wake me to do the rug. We'll do it later. So it would appear I get a little bit of a reprieve from getting this rug out, and I can go right to sleep after I finish putting the recyclables out. So that is exciting. Not as exciting as anything you may have to say for 15 seconds. If you'd like to be heard, be my guest, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222 as part of
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Neil.
1-1-1-3. I finished home, but I got to go pee.
Raji.
If the United States stops sending the $100 billion aid to corrupt nations each and every year, each American poor will benefit an extra $500 per month, thus ending U.S. poverty. Thank you.
Paulie.
Frank, I got a suggestion for your refrigerator. How about one shelf just free for the taking?
Russell.
25 years ago today, I set myself on fire, and I've been dousing the flames with beer ever since.
Frank.
This Thursday, 5 p.m., Westchester Manor, Hastings on Hudson, is a wrongful conviction gala run by Jeffrey Deskovic, attorney exoneree. DeskovicFoundation.org, DeskovicFoundation.org, DeskovicFoundation.org.
Jay.
Eating in bed thing, Frank's a New York thing. There's one room efficiency apartments. You only got a bed to eat in.
Ray.
Frank, you don't want to share your meals in Atlantic City, but you'll share in the refrigerator. One more thing real quick. And then she takes a seven-month-old to a comedy shop. I don't see why you couldn't have taken Carmine to the bachelor party.
Mike.
Morning, Frank. As far as snacking in bed goes, the only thing I'm snacking on in bed is that little lady laying right there next to me. And I can assure you there are no crumbs left behind.
Rusty.
Yes, we got to vote for Trump. They tortured him for 8 years, what they did to this man. And nobody cares. God forbid he don't win. Bye.
Thank you, Rusty. And finally, last but certainly not least, let me say hello to Clint.
Play Misty for me, Frank, would you please?
It might be Clint Eastwood. Might be Clint Eastwood. That was a classic radio movie. Play Misty for me. Certainly a great talent. All right. That slams the lid on things for today. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to go through your email correspondence. There's some, if I can get my Wi-Fi working. Anyway, we will go through your email. If you want to email me, be my guest, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. That's frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. And we'll also talk with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich about FISA, about the aid package, and a host of other issues. Frank Morano, good day.